right. I am feeling good. What's going on, everybody? This is Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase kicking off this week of shows. It is officially New York Jets week. The Eagles are sitting pretty at 2-2 right now. Feels a lot better than what 1-3 would have been. And this week of shows would have been a lot less pleasant for sure. So the Eagles get a massive win on Thursday night, and we are kicking off this Monday edition of the show, still taking a look back at what was really, it was an epic win at Lambeau Field. The Eagles take down the Green Bay Packers 34-27. The goal line stand, Nigel Bradham, the game-winning interception. Craig James, of all people, tips the ball up in the air. Me and Gino, we dove into everything about the game on our Friday edition of the show, so make sure you go back and check that out. Today, what I want to get into on the episode is the underrated players, the unsung heroes of that game. I got three on defense, and I got three on offense coming up on this edition of the podcast. Before we get into that, I'm feeling really good after watching Sunday, after watching the Dallas Cowboys fall to 3-1. They get Green Bay this week, while the Eagles get the New York Jets, a team that has yet to win in the 2019 season. The Eagles are only a game back. Probably by next week, based on what my predictions will be, they should be both tied up at 3-2 apiece. Then the Eagles go on the road, and they play Dallas in only a couple weeks. So them losing to the Saints is huge. And look, Dak Prescott was abysmal. Without Ezekiel Elliott averaging, I mean, Zeke was... New Orleans held him in check. He was averaging under 3 yards a carry on Sunday Night Football. Bridgewater, look, he was no better, and I was getting a lot of flack throughout the last couple days because I tweeted out, I think on Saturday, that I said straight up, Teddy Bridgewater is going to outplay Dak Prescott on Sunday night because, and I used this because, he is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott, and Teddy Bridgewater was not very good. But Dak Prescott had an opportunity to bury me. He had an opportunity to just throw an alley-oop to Cowboy fans and to people that I got into it with on the internet this weekend about that take. And he did not step up to the plate when he was not playing one of the worst teams in the league like he has been the last 3 weeks. He didn't matter about this new magical Kellen Moore offense that everybody keeps talking about the past month. It seemed to me like the same old conservative Dallas Cowboys, regardless of scheme, regardless of who your offensive coach is, the system, it had to do with Dak Prescott and just the limited passer that he is, the limited quarterback that he is, despite his mobility being something that I love in a quarterback. He is a limited passer. He is someone that I compare a lot to Alex Smith, and he was that average. He was below average against the Saints. He could not outscore Teddy Bridgewater, who couldn't even get in the end zone. The Saints had 4 field goals to win that football game, 12-10. So I'm feeling good about that. Look, you can't play the Miami Dolphins every week, and the Eagles, they've been truly tested the first month of the year. That was the Cowboys' first test, and they did not step up with the Saints not having Drew Brees. Yes, you had to go on the road to take on New Orleans, but the fact that they had Teddy Bridgewater in there, a guy that was not trying to push the ball down the field for 2 straight weeks now. I'm a Teddy believer. I'm a Bridgewater believer. I think the more and more he plays, he's going to get more uncomfortable. Remember, this is only his second start in the last 4 years. He's going to get better and better, but he was really bad. The problem is that I think he outplayed Dak Prescott yesterday. So, yeah, the Giants, to me, too, they're a fake 2-2. They've played the Redskins and the Buccaneers the past 2 weeks. I feel really good about the Eagles' situation right now within the NFC East, and they're going to get DeSean Jackson back probably this week against the New York Jets. When he went down against Atlanta, they said most reports were, including the Eagles, about 2 weeks with this abdominal strain. He decided not to get surgery, which would have kept him out for at least 6 weeks. Since he's decided to not get surgery, he can return within, I think it was 2 weeks was the earliest and the most optimistic, and I think that's what's going to happen. So the Eagles get to play a winless New York Jets team. That there's an update on Sam Darnold, by the way. Chris Mortensen reported late Sunday night, early Monday morning, that Darnold still has some obstacles to overcome this week if he wants to play against the Eagles. He's overcoming mono right now, and they're doing an MRI on his spleen. They're going to check out Darnold's spleen this week, and if it's not inflamed on Monday, or if the swelling went down a little bit with the mono illness, then he's looking good to play. But the Eagles could be playing Luke Falk this Sunday with DeSean Jackson coming back, without Sam Darnold playing for the Jets, with Dallas having to play the Green Bay Packers. Can Dak Prescott have the performance that Carson Wentz did against Aaron Rodgers, matching him, you know, blow for blow? I don't know. I don't really envision it. So, and there's, you know, some better news on the Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox front as well. Sounds like Sidney Jones might be able to play. His hamstring injury is not as bad as Ronald Darby's, and Avante Maddox could be maybe out just this week. He could maybe even play, or probably more likely he ends up playing on that three-game road trip against Chicago, Dallas, and Buffalo. But look, it's going to have to be those guys coming back healthy. Ronald Darby, too. Jalen Mills is eligible after the Minnesota game to return from the PUP list. Craven LeBlanc as well in a month. I think this is the secondary they're going to have to rely on, unless they can find a way to trade for, maybe Miami wants to give away another great young secondary player like Xavier Howard, or they want to go for an older former player of theirs like a Patrick Robinson or Teron Johnson from the Jets, somebody like that. Jalen Ramsey, though, the more and more reports come out, the less and less optimistic I continue to be. There was a report on Sunday morning that they turned down two first-round picks, and that very well could have been from the Eagles, because there was another report that the Eagles were going to try and really kick it up a notch and try to pry Jalen Ramsey away from the Jaguars within the next couple days because of how bad the secondary has been, and a lot of it has to do with the scheme too. Jim Schwartz should not get a pass, but also how bad the health has been at the cornerback position for now going on 2 years. I'm all in on Jalen Ramsey. I said give him two first round picks. If the Eagles offer that, I'm cool with it. The fact that the Jaguars don't want to do it, I heard that it's an ownership thing, that Shad Khan wants it to be a mega trade, or they sign him to a contract extension. And I get it. I would try to, you're 2-2 now after a big win against the Denver Broncos. You're in a four-way tie for the lead in the AFC South. I get wanting to see if Ramsey will stay. If you say, hey, we're going to pay you, we'll make you our guy. If you felt disrespected by Tom Coughlin or by Doug Marrone, we're going to prioritize you. It would make sense from, if the Eagles had Jalen Ramsey, that's what I would want them to do. So I understand their perspective. At the same time, though, if Jalen Ramsey pulls like a, you know, for a Seinfeld viewers out there, a George Costanza, and he's trying to get fired, basically, and trying to get out of there, maybe even refuses to play, they at some point have to take that kind of offer. I mean, that's a substantial amount. Ramsey is an elite cornerback, and I would trade two first-round picks for him. But getting two first-round picks for a cornerback, as no matter how good that player is, that is pretty good compensation. It's hard for you to be able to get more out of a team than two first-round picks. But I'm not feeling optimistic right now, because it really seems like each and every report that comes out the past couple weeks, even though Jalen Ramsey's trade request stands, and that's what I'm hoping, is that maybe Ramsey takes matters into his own hands a little bit more. But right now, it really does still seem like Jacksonville knows they're in this right now. Gardner Minshew is keeping them alive while Nick Foles is hurt, and they want to win. And it seems like the owner still wants to commit to Jalen Ramsey, not just on a short-term basis, but on a long-term basis as well. So they need Sidney Jones to get back healthy. They need Avante Maddox back. Even for depth purposes, I don't want him starting, but Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills, Craven LeBlanc, they need these guys back, because for as inconsistent as everybody has been in the secondary, you cannot go into the next couple weeks with Craig James and Orlando Scandrick. And it's not a sure bet right now to be able to say, you know, to put your chips on, hey, we're going to probably have Jalen Ramsey. I just don't know if it's going to work out at this point. But outside of that, I'm feeling really good about the Eagles' health on offense. Alshon Jeffrey and Dallas Goedert will be a week healthier. They're playing a very favorable matchup against the Jets at home. Who the NFC East is playing next week, how they looked this Sunday, the win on Thursday. I'm excited about this podcast, this Monday edition of the show. I'm feeling good getting you guys ready for Jets Week. This lead story has been brought to you by Blinklist. With Blinklist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. Go to Blinklist.com/lockedon and try it for free for 7 days, and you'll save 25% off your new subscription with our promo code LOCKEDON. Go to Blinkist.com. We thank them for sponsoring Locked On Eagles today. So coming up next on the show, I have three underrated defensive players that were huge for the Eagles to beat the Packers last Thursday night. And then segment three, I have three offensive players. We're going to talk about the underrated heroes of that big win at Lambeau Field. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by DoorDash. Your sweatpants are on for the day, but you're sick of the microwaved leftovers and frozen pizzas. Enter DoorDash, restaurant quality food with a living room dress code. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. All you got to do, open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. So you might find a new favorite, too, with DoorDash delivery in all 50 states and Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, that's my weakness, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15, and I know me personally, I can never keep my DoorDash orders under $15. Download the DoorDash app today to get that $5 off. Use the promo code, you guessed it, LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDON when you download the DoorDash app. We'll be right back. This is Louis DiBiase, the Monday edition of Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, we're back. The Eagles are back. It feels like they're back. This 2019 season seems like it's back on track at 2-2 with the New York Jets coming to Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles are, look, winning that game on the road was one of the most impressive wins I've seen from the Eagles, and they've played in some important battles the past 2 years, in the playoffs, in the regular season. Thursday was an ultimate test, and they looked like the team that we believed could win a Super Bowl this year and should be a favorite to win the Super Bowl. Now you get to go back home where you're a much better team. The offense is much better at Lincoln Financial Field. The defense is, and you're playing once again a Jets team that has yet to get a win. And to me, they have one of the worst head coaches in the league in Adam Gase. We'll take a deeper look into Jets week on Wednesday with Crossover Wednesday. We'll have the guys from Locked On Jets on. Me and Gina will go deeper in on Thursday, talk about all the matchups, everything about the game. We got you covered Wednesday through Saturday. As for today, I'm still feeling the vibes from that win on Thursday against the Packers. And I thought a good spin on today's show would be to talk about some of the underrated players from that game. Because on Friday, we had to hit the big stuff, right? Carson Wentz, to me, probably his best performance of his career so far. Maybe, no, I shouldn't say best performance because he's dominated teams before, but I think his most impressive win. And I go back and forth. I really like that Rams win in 2017 as well as the Panthers win in Carolina that year. But it's up there. It's top three, I would even say top two. We talked about that. Doug Peterson's play calling was on point. The offensive line dominated. Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders were great. You know, the goal line stands once again. Nigel Bradham, Craig James. Those were all the big talking points, the big storylines, the big players that were being talked about. Then I went back and rewatched the game, and it confirmed that I was still blown away by a lot of players, by the smaller things they did. They weren't making crazy jaw-dropping plays, you know, highlight reel material, but they were instrumental in the Eagles holding on for dear life and making sure that they did not start off the year 1-3. And we're going to start here on defense. And it's a guy I did talk about on Friday, and it's a guy I talk about a lot on the show, but I think it's becoming more and more justified, and that is cornerback Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas, right now, in the past year and a half, he has been the Eagles' most reliable corner. He had the fourth highest defensive grade, according to Pro Football Focus, of all Eagles defensive players. I think only it was Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and Nigel Bradham that were ahead of Rasul Douglas. On 10 catches, Davante Adams caught 10 catches for 180 yards. Against Rasul Douglas, he had one catch for 12 yards. And I think the most impressive part of it for Douglas, and that is, Douglas, he was going up against Adams is one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL. Top seven, maybe. I mean, he's an elite wide receiver. Geno talks about all the time how he's one of the best route runners that you'll see, the NFL has seen. And there's one perfect play that Eagles corners have gotten beat by for years now, and it's the sluggo. It's that double move where you see Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones, even Rasul Douglas bite down on that play, and receivers gash you up the field. Davante Adams tried hitting Rasul with that in the red zone on 3rd and 2, and Douglas saw it coming the entire way and stuck with him. It was an incomplete pass. Rodgers overthrew Adams. Douglas was on him like White on Rice, and that's him learning. That is him developing. He recognized that that route was coming. He has recognized that he and these Eagles corners have struggled with that exact route against star players like Adams and the likes of Julio Jones for years now. And that's the kind of development that you want to see out of these corners. And you want to see that rapid development. You need to see that happening now. And you're seeing it more with Rasul Douglas of any of these guys. He's been good against great receivers now. Again, for the past year and a half, Michael Thomas last year, you look at Julio Jones 2 weeks ago, I thought he was great against Julio Jones on Sunday Night Football. Last week, TJ Hockenson's a rookie, but he is a really good, versatile, gifted tight end. I thought against Kenny Galladay too, Rasul Douglas was solid. That is a good pass-catching core with Detroit. Rasul Douglas was good there. I thought he made the most plays he's made in a long time against Detroit. Davante Adams, 12, yes, he had the bad defensive pass interference, but outside of that, Davante Adams only caught one ball when he was on the left side, and it was for 12 yards. That's it. So 168 of his yards came on the opposite side against Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox. Rasul Douglas was instrumental to that win. He didn't make a lot of splash plays, but he was the one consistent thing about that cornerback group, as you saw the likes of Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox struggle and then get injured and exit the game. The cornerback room has melted down in flames. It has burst into flames, and Rasul Douglas is the one thing standing tall through it, and I was blown away once again by his performance against Green Bay. Honestly, you wouldn't think it, but I have two secondary players here on my underrated list from that win. And you wouldn't think that because Aaron Rodgers threw for over 400 yards and it seemed like the Eagles defense had no answers. But safety Rodney McLeod, this guy should be back next year. He's only on a one-year deal. A lot of people, including myself, early on in training camp throughout the summer thought, okay, safety's probably the biggest need next year for the draft because Rodney McLeod probably won't be here. For me, he still flies around. If you didn't know he was injured last year, if you didn't know that he had a serious leg injury, you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't know it by the way he moves from sideline to sideline still. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. Even when they're big plays, McLeod finds a way to make sure that those plays don't get turned to even bigger chunk yardage. There were multiple plays on the goal line stands. The first goal line stand was a lot of Rodney McLeod just shutting that offense down. On first and goal, he kept Aaron Rodgers from walking into the end zone on an RPO play where Rodgers is rolling left. McLeod closes in on him, gets right in his face, and makes Rodgers force the ball up to Jimmy Graham, who was covered really well by Rasul Douglas. The fade was not developing yet. Graham had not gotten into the corner of the end zone yet, and it was thanks to McLeod's explosiveness closing in on Rodgers immediately. Then, a couple plays later, he stops Jimmy Graham on a fade in the right corner of the end zone. He breaks the ball up. Rodney McLeod, if he does not make those two plays, the game's tied up, and it would have been a completely different ball game. Rodney McLeod was huge for the Eagles on Thursday. Another guy here, up front, someone that he's made, we haven't really seen the splash plays. We've seen it, we've heard it, we've heard about it in training camp. We've seen it a few times in the preseason. We more so just see the guy, his physically gifted traits, the long hair, the Jadeveon Clowney-looking physique, and we see Josh Sweat and what he did at Florida State, and we get excited about that upside. We saw some of that upside against Green Bay. He has a motor just like Derek Barnett. I mean, he was getting, 20 yards down the field, stopping running backs, stopping receivers, making nice open field tackles. But the other thing about Sweat was he was playing inside a lot, and they were using him in that joker role more honestly than Vinnie Curry, I thought, for the most part. And he was getting a lot of wins against the run and against the pass. I mean, he was getting to Aaron Rodgers in pretty convincing fashion. And there was one signature play where he blew up, just tossed an offensive lineman to the side and stopped Aaron Jones in the backfield for a 2-yard loss. And it just showed the raw strength of Josh Sweat. And I don't know what it is, but ever since the guy cut his hair, he just moves better. And it probably has nothing to do with the hair, but he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And this Eagles team, they believe in him. Deshaun Hall was great in the preseason. He was probably the best defensive player in the NFL throughout the preseason. And he has not gotten barely any snaps because they've been that impressed and they believe that much in Josh Sweat. And I think he justified that belief on Thursday night. I think he was disruptive. Multiple times he was getting to Aaron Rodgers. I counted at least 4 or 5 quarterback hurries from the edge, and he had a couple really big plays on the interior as well. So I was really impressed with Rasul Douglas, Rodney McLeod, and Josh Sweat. I thought they were very undervalued. I shouldn't say undervalued, but underrated in that win against the Packers. I got 3 more coming up next. We're going to switch sides of the field here. We're going to go to the offensive side of the ball. Who impressed, but has kind of gone under the radar when it comes to the headlines? That's coming up next right here. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by Blue Chew. Look, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Listen up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Try it for free today. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Eagles today. All right, we're back. Louis DiBiase wrapping up this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles. We got Stock Up, Stock Down tomorrow. Gino Camilleri will be back with me on the Tuesday edition of the podcast. For now, I'm talking about some more underrated pieces of that massive, massively important win on Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers. I did 3 defensive players last segment. I think Rasul Douglas, Rodney McLeod, and Josh Sweat were the best choices there. And if I had to choose 3 offensive players, here is what I would go. And I start with number 1, and it's Alshon Jeffrey. I know he didn't even have 40 yards receiving, but his presence to me drew attention away from the likes of Zach Ertz, from Dallas Goedert, from the run game. He wasn't 100%, but even not at 100%, that touchdown, the swim move to free himself up in the red zone, one-on-one against Jair Alexander, was baller. Jair Alexander, I think I would only take Jalen Ramsey over Jair Alexander of any corner in the NFL. I think Jair Alexander is the second best corner, or at least the second most valuable based on his age, based on his contract, based on his upside, and based on how good he, I mean, look, he was great. I'll give it to him. It was frustrating to watch how good he was. He is an elite corner, and even if it was for one play, that was a massive touchdown. It was so important for the game. I mean, the swim move just was a veteran move. Jeffrey knowing how to get leverage on Alexander, free him up on the inside, and catch the football. It wasn't just that either. He had another key 3rd-and-10 conversion in the second half on one of those important scoring drives to continue to match Green Bay toe for toe, just keep the lead intact. Alshon did not have a lot of yards or a lot of receptions. He was not 100%. He only really played this game because of their record, but damn it, they needed that. They just needed him on the field. There is a comfort level when Alshon Jeffrey is out there. There's a reliability in him, especially in the red zone. The guy's already got 3 touchdowns this year, and he's only played really in 2 games because he only played a couple snaps against Atlanta. I thought Alshon Jeffrey, even for the box score not being, you know, off the charts, I thought Alshon Jeffrey was huge in that win on Thursday. Another guy here, I'm going 2 guards to wrap up the show. Isaac Seumalo and Brandon Brooks. Those 2 were maulers in the run game, and they were maulers in the passing game. people were way too quick to want Isaac Seumalo benched. I know he had the worst game of his career against Atlanta 2 weeks ago. It was terrible. And they've done it before where they've benched Seumalo in favor of a guy like Stefan Wisniewski. But you don't have Wisniewski anymore. Yes, Halepulivahti Vaitai had a lot of success at right guard throughout the summer. But for me, one game, some people are just too quick. And it's the same with a guy like Miles Sanders where, you know, in corners, a lot of it is, look, and I understand with corner because of how bad the position has been for the Eagles in recent years. And not, I shouldn't just say recent years, for the past decade, really. But at the same time, the patience sometimes, some of you guys just stay patient here. Seumalo, since that Atlanta game, has been off the charts. Against Detroit, I thought he was great. Against Green Bay, I watched every snap about a couple hours ago, and I was just going to watch Isaac Seumalo in that offensive line. And I thought he was great in the run game, and I thought he was great in the passing game. I think the run game is really his strength. He's really good at getting up to that next level, pulling. He's an athletic interior offensive lineman. He's very versatile. But even in the passing game, some one-on-ones against the likes of, you know, a Kenny Clark, I thought he stood his ground. But let's talk about the right side. Let's talk about a guy named Brandon Brooks. Just more Brandon Brooks love, because he deserves it. The guy is not even 9 months removed from a torn Achilles. He played, and yet, despite that, going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL, on 31 pass-blocking snaps, he did not allow a single pressure. He was the only offensive lineman in a game where the Eagles' offensive line put on a clinic. He was the only one of the five that did not allow a single pressure on Carson Wentz. I went back and watched it. It makes you giddy watching how good that offensive line was. That was such a key. And we love to hype up Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and Jason Peters because they've been atop their positions for a long time now. But Brandon Brooks has too, since the Eagles signed him in 2016. And Seumalo, since that brutal Falcons game, he has bounced back admirably. And I thought for the majority of last year too, he was pretty damn good. So, you know, he's seen as the weak link at left guard. He has not been anything short of a strong suit for this offense. That Atlanta game, terrible. But Doug Peterson stuck with him. He did not get benched like some people were calling for. And they're better off for that because he has put together two of the better games I've seen him put together against Detroit and against Green Bay. Seumalo, Brooks, just that entire offensive line in general was dominant. I think the top three most underrated guys in that win on offense were Alshon Jeffrey, Isaac Seumalo, and Brandon Brooks. So that's going to do it. Those are my six underrated players in the Eagles 34-27 win against the Green Bay Packers. We will be back tomorrow for another edition of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The conversation, though, always continues on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE. I'm talking birds 24/7. Please subscribe to the show because you got 4 to 6 episodes a week coming into your phone. And also, you can check it out on our mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. If you're a desktop podcast listener, make sure you check it out on LockedOnEagles.com. All right, that's going to do it for me. I'm signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.